Greetings, Earthlings, and welcome to Are You For Real? My name's Tom, and with me as always is my comrade Grant.
Howdy-ho!
So, last week we were talking about the FLIR 1 video, aka the Tic Tac video, and I think we definitely need to do some more discussion about that, the video itself.
Yeah, we didn't really get into the video too much. But first, yeah, let me go over some of these further revelations. They're pretty interesting. A little backup evidence here. Again, this is coming from the History Channel show. I can never remember what the name of it is. It's Unidentified Inside America's UFO Investigation. And again, this week I'm going to say that you need to check this out, Tommy.
I will.
The History Channel show goes on to make some other startling revelations related to the Tic Tac incident. He doesn't go into too much detail, but Luis Elizondo, the head of ATIP, as we went over last week, head of ATIP and kind of the face for the To the Stars Academy, he's kind of the host of the TV show. He goes on to advise that these objects that the military were tracking appeared to be heading to a rally point. These craft were also being tracked traveling under the surface of the ocean at over 70 knots by sonar, which is twice the speed of a submarine. The rally point that they appeared to be heading to was Guadalupe Island off of the coast of Mexico.
So these objects were headed to a rally point?
Yeah, I think they were tracking them by radar, you know, and watching where they were headed, and they all seemed to be going off in that direction, maybe. That's kind of the impression. I think it was kind of vague in the show. I watched the show like 3-4 months ago or whatever, maybe 2 months, I don't know. But, it just kind of mentions, like, they all appeared to be going to a rally point.
Maybe they were going to rallies.
That would make a lot of sense. So in the third episode of the show, we are introduced to Sean Cahill. I don't know how to pronounce it.
It's probably Cahill,
who also witnessed strange objects in the skies while serving on the USS Princeton. He described them as rotating lights that would suddenly disappear at a high speed. Cahill and Elizondo then travel together down to Guadalupe Island and start questioning local fishermen, who all tell stories of seeing lights moving both under and above the water. They talk to a pilot named Ojeda, who uses his plane to spot fish for the fishermen, and he described an incident where he saw a ball moving erratically that reacted to his presence when he turned on his lights and flew straight at him.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine how terrifying that would
be? Dear God.
Just above the ocean in your little plane and you see a.
Okay. So Ojeda is not like a military pilot. He's like a.
No, he's like a low. Yeah.
Like a fixed wing, or what do you call that? Like a.
Yeah. He's got a, like biplane? A little biplane. Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember exactly, but I think that's who they hired to fly him out to the island.
Like a crop duster?
Or maybe he just. I think. Yeah. Basically.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a little biplane or a little.
Like the North by Northwest one where it's like coming right at Cary Grant.
Okay. Yeah. Like a little Cessna or something.
Okay.
I don't know anything about planes. Ojeda described it as a silver round shape. He said the object shot off and disappeared.
So this thing wanted to play chicken with him and he won.
Basically, yeah.
He won. He played chicken against a UFO and he won.
Yeah.
Props to Ojeda.
Yeah, I was reading something interesting. I don't know because there's a lot of experts in the comment sections and stuff. And some guy was mentioning like, yeah, all you got to do to attract them to you is you disguise yourself next to like another source of heat so they can't see your body heat, and then they'll come like check you out when you like just jump out all of a sudden or something. Because it seems like when he turned his lights on when he saw it, then it started flying at him. So. I don't know. It's an interesting theory, you know.
Weird.
If there's just, I don't know if it makes any sense. But so Cahill and Elizondo end up talking to like 11 different witnesses that all give the similar stories. It's kind of funny because even though I couldn't understand the testimonials as they were usually speaking Spanish, all of the stories end with people making a whoosh noise and like shooting their arm like something just took off, you know, which is exactly how Fravor describes it, too. That whoosh noise.
That's universal.
Yeah, exactly. And you can picture it. I mean, I think I mean, a lot of UFO stories are like that, I think, right? It's just like hovering there and then all of a sudden just shoots off or whatever, or shoots straight up.
Yeah. At a high rate of speed.
Yeah, yeah, like instantly.
An incredible rate of speed.
We'll get back to that at the end here too, because I actually have a firsthand account. I basically talked to my grandma again and got a little more details on what she saw, and
sweet,
she kind of said the exact same thing, which is cool. But this is also exactly how Cale and Fravor described the craft leaving. So yeah, it's very universal.
It's universal. Like.
And Elizondo is enthused because, as he explains, while in the military, he could never go into another country and start interviewing civilians about what they saw. He gives the impression that the military's hands are somewhat tied due to everything being top secret. One last thing about the History Channel show that I wanted to mention is that they go into the problem that the military has in disclosing these kinds of things to the public. The first thing is that there are a lot of barriers to reporting these incidents to higher-ups. Obviously, there's a lot of skepticism around these events. And once someone reports it to command, it is up to command to take the next step. And there is the ever-present fear of reporting something like this leading to ridicule. As a Pentagon official says in a scary robot monster voice on the show, it can be a career killer.
Yeah, I can understand people's reticence.
And we didn't really discuss that report that you read last episode. I mean, she mentions specifically how everyone was just kind of making fun of the whole thing, where she was kind of terrified, you know?
Yeah. Well, do you remember? Okay. We haven't discussed this yet, but there was an incident in Phoenix, Arizona, the Phoenix lights. It was a really famous sighting. And a lot of people think it was flares, but maybe we'll even do an episode about that. That might be kind of cool.
I think we do. I'm kind of scared to talk, you know, to tackle it since there were so many witnesses. And
well, you know. But the thing is, I think it was the mayor of Phoenix or someone came out and did a press conference dressed as an alien afterwards. And a lot of people were like, what are you doing, man? Like, don't poo-poo this. Don't mock this. This is some serious, potentially, like, has potential ramifications for humanity, and you're out here dressed like an alien making fun. Like, right. Don't do that. It's super disrespectful.
Yeah.
So I could see how if I had just witnessed something, if I was a pilot and I came back and people are watching X-Files calling me Spooky Mulder and everything, I'd be, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be a bit miffed.
Right. You go through something traumatic and then, I mean, the least someone could do is take it seriously.
That's interesting. You mentioned the word traumatic, because I think that's an accurate way. I mean, there's probably a lot of trauma involved in this too.
Well, she, like I said, like Fravor had mentioned in the Rogan interview, I think specifically that, you know, his wingman was pretty freaked out by it. And you can tell just from the report how, like, I mean.
Yeah.
And the interviews where she's saying the hair on the back of her neck. I mean, she was scared, you know.
Well, I'm sure pilots are supposed to have nerves of steel and everything. And if you have the reputation of being someone who is either spooked or have a high potential for being a trauma afflicted person, then that could be a quote career killer.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, what's scarier than the unknown and seeing something that you believe to be impossible is, I mean, I would be scared if I saw something like that, especially if I was in a fighter jet and being asked to engage it or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's also some speculation that certain religious groups in control of the Pentagon or government are actually against any investigation or contact with these craft, fearing that they are demons or devils. As Elizondo describes it, his greatest fear is that an adversary did figure out next generation technology and the USA is just really behind. Elizondo says that there are too many pieces of the puzzle that just don't make any sense. If the craft had foreign markings, then there would be a huge budget to figure out what was going on. And Elizondo fears that Congress is just as ignorant as John Q. Public, which there are actual laws against. So, yeah, we didn't get into too much discussion yesterday, but after all that I've explained in the last episode and just now with, I mean, this is pretty incredible. This island, I want to go check this island out, but I kind of want to stay away too. I also believe that it's like shark infested waters. There's like great whites all around there. So there's like
Guadalupe Island. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And you can go in those cages, you know, and have sharks come up, but
yeah, I'm not going to do that.
I mean, it would be scary enough with sharks, but then what if a huge object came up like twice the speed of a submarine and just stopped there and was moving erratically under the water or something? It scares me just thinking about it.
The hair on my neck is standing up.
But yeah, what do you? Well, I mean, what do you think about this? I mean, it's very similar to the gimbal kind of test. I mean, it's.
Are you talking about the video itself?
Well, no, I do want to get into that because we didn't really get into the video at all. There's not really a lot to make out of. It's kind of like the Go Fast one. It just shows an object. It's hard to tell what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of nebulous, and then all of a sudden, whatever it is darts off to the left.
Yeah,
and that part was pretty. That was pretty impressive, I guess. If it is what they say it is, like what everyone is describing, and it is the footage is actually from a moving aircraft, and the thing accelerated at quote unprecedented speeds or whatever, then
right.
Wow, that's pretty amazing, and it looks it's. I mean, granted, I haven't seen much fighter plane footage before, but from what fighter plane footage I have seen, that was entirely unique.
Right. And, yeah, that's the thing. I'm an untrained civilian, you know, so it's hard to know what to make out of that footage, honestly. It just looks like a dot that a computer's tracking, so I can't make much out of it. I do... Well, first off, in the Rogan interview, Fravor says, like, for a computer not to be able to scan, like keep a lock on it, it had to be moving pretty fast just to shoot off like that.
Yeah, I imagine so camera technology, you know. Camera and computer technology is astounding these days. So that makes sense.
And I'm sure if you look at the data on there, I don't really know, but I believe that it couldn't really, I mean, it was having trouble getting a lock on the object, which is odd, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what to make of it. It just looks like a round object on a camera, you know, with an aimer on it. But
yeah, all the camera switching and like that kind of stuff. I was just like, okay, something better happen here. And then sure enough, towards the end when it shoots off to the left, that was pretty neat.
Right. I do think when it goes into TV mode, it this last time I watched it, I was kind of impressed by it. I mean, it looks like a flying saucer, some strange like metallic object, round tic-tac shaped object. I mean, it's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, with Fravor's story next to it.
Yeah. And that's the key right there is the story is only as good as the people who are telling it.
Right.
And I think, a lot of times people attach unnecessary weight to, people's testimony, like testimony from police officers or testimony from people in perceived authority. I think a lot of times people give unnecessary weight to that. But when it comes to something like this, fighter pilots and people who are uniquely qualified to comment on videos like this, I think it's appropriate to put some pretty significant weight onto these testimonies.
Me too. Especially the accurate way that they're recording all the details mentally, you know, just in that report. I mean, it's obvious she was paying attention to what was going on.
Yeah.
And she had just been trained on how to do it, I'm sure. Obviously, reports in the military are very important, you know, to
mm-hmm.
to give a good picture of what's going on.
And I mean, it's important to note that everyone's human. Everyone is human who's reporting right. this stuff. And
well, when we get into the skepticism, I mean, people doubt Fravor's word, you know, and that he's overestimating stuff or misjudging stuff. But it's actually coming from the wingman that's watching him, you know. So.
Well, I think any kind of bewilderment coming from a person who is in this, who's supposed to be stoic and who is supposed to be very measured in their responses to stuff is, I find that to be compelling and convincing.
Right. One thing I don't really get into is Fravor. He didn't believe in this stuff beforehand, apparently. And
okay.
He said his mother-in-law was really into UFOs, and she knows he's a pilot, and she kept asking him, like, did you see a UFO yet? Have you seen anything? And then it was all kind of top secret, and he wasn't talking about it. Then it started coming out in the media, and he just went and he said, well, there's going to be something on the news, and yeah, I chased a UFO. You know? So, I don't know. He talks about that on the Rogan interview, too. I mean, if you're interested in it, that's probably a good place to get a lot of the backstory and stuff. And he breaks down the video, you know, they watch it together, and he explains it to Joe,
cool.
Yeah. And it's got Jeremy Corbell on there too. So that's awesome.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course the last third
Wait,
is quarter is Jeremy Corbell talking a lot too.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Is he involved with To the Stars?
I don't think so.
What's he doing there then?
Well, he's a UFO investigator. I mean, Yeah. There's a picture of David Fravor, Jeremy Corbell, and Bob Lazar all together at a UFO convention or something. But
okay.
I'm sure there's going to be a movie coming out about it, you know.
Dear God. Okay. Well, I've made my feelings about Jeremy Corbell pretty clear. I don't know, man. All right. Maybe his heart's in the right place, but it just seems like I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. We were talking about it in the Lazar investigation investigation in quotes, but,
anywho,
but what I was really asking him initially is, with all that incredible testimony and all these facts and stuff that I told you, quote unquote facts, but, yeah, just that. What do you make of this situation? I mean, it's very similar to the gimbal and the Go Fast video. It is similar to the Go Fast video, the FLIR 1 video.
Uh-huh.
They're very similar. Except there's no background in the Tic Tac video. You know, it's just
It's up in the sky.
Yeah, and exactly. You can see some motion behind it, I think. So maybe there's clouds. But I think it was a really clear day that day. They said too.
I think the most compelling thing is what I've already mentioned is just at the end.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I mean, it's not.
And it matches the description. I mean, it seems like it went whoosh, and just took off, and the computer couldn't track it at all, you know.
And it's not unheard of for equipment to malfunction. So maybe there was some kind of problem with the focus on the camera. I mean, that's not unheard of. But the fact that when it darted off at the end like that, that was.
Well, what's interesting is then you pair that with the testimonial from almost exactly 10 years later in 2014 with all the stuff we talked about before, you know, and kind of a similar situation where they're doing training exercises and they're just being, surveyed by some strange drone type things or something. You know what I mean?
I almost hope it's extraterrestrial as opposed to, as opposed to, a foreign power on planet Earth.
Well, I guess we should get into it, and we can talk about it a little later. But I mean, maybe it is just some advanced drones or something, and they're just using some kind of different type of propulsion or like a super fan. But then you'd have to deal with air, and I mean, I'm not an aeronautical engineer or anything, but it seems these are some crazy things. And stories like these have been around for a long time. You know, it's just again, it's interesting that they're using new radar systems, and then all of a sudden these things are showing up, and it looks like they're trying to. Because they go from super high, which would be, from what I understand, above where the radar could previously track things, and then they drop down to super low, close to the ocean, you know, where it's hard for conventional radar to track things. I mean, I'm no radar expert, but you follow me, right?
Right. Yeah, and obviously, I'm a layman as well in terms of all this stuff, but you also have to take into account G-forces and everything. Yeah. Something like that, from my understanding, any kind of rapid acceleration or deceleration could kill a human being. So yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of anything, a drone. You
right.
Know,
you're but, right. So I think either they're unmanned or if there is something on there, it's got physiology like nothing we've ever seen before.
And I said the speeds last week, but for how fast it's descending, I mean, you would think just air.
I think it was
the friction from the air would be I don't know.
Something was Mach 30 or something was 30 times the speed of sound, which I think is Mach 30.
That sounds
I still
pretty...
haven't looked that up because I'm a lazy dude.
And we never will.
So please leave us a comment.
But so most of our conversations will probably come back to this, but it seems it must either be one of our top secret technologies, another country's top secret technology, pilots giving out misinformation in some kind of psyops project. Or are they extraterrestrials? Can you think of any other explanation, really?
Yeah, malfunction. Wait, did you say malfunction?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. So, yeah.
Could be malfunction.
But then how does that describe, you mean like David Fravor's eyes were malfunctioning and his wingman's eyes?
I guess like, honest mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
I suppose.
I think it's E.T. I mean, come on. Let's get real here. Just kidding.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's compelling, though, right? I mean.
It is. I found all three of those videos to be pretty compelling. I think they're some of the most compelling things that we've discussed so far on the podcast.
And these are just the things. I mean, this has really ignited the UFO community, obviously. But and it's really brought it into the mainstream again. But it just makes me wonder. I mean, there's a 10-year gap between these. What other stuff has been out there that has not been released to the public at all, you know?
Sure. I'll bet there's a bunch of stuff that's been documented and a bunch of stuff that hasn't been documented, too.
When was the Phoenix Lights, I wonder? I wonder if it was around this time period or anything.
No, that was in the late 90s, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's take a little break, and then we can come back and discuss what some of the skeptics have to say about this.
You betcha.
Boo, 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 boo. Hey guys, sorry to butt into the conversation here, but I just wanted to tell you about our sponsor, CBGW Cigar Box Guitars. As the sole proprietor, I hand make these guitars myself. I'm really proud of them. They're made from old cigar boxes, but as you can hear, they sound good plugged in. They sound good acoustic. They come with a hand-cut bottleneck slide that I make myself. They're just a lot of fun to play. They're set up for slide guitar. I like to think of them as a slide training guitar. Make a great gift for any musician, and they look really good just hanging on the wall, too. I think they're kind of a piece of art, you know. You can find us at Etsy.com, where I also offer free shipping. Just search for CBGW at Etsy.com. That's CBG as in cigar box guitar, and then D-U-B. And right now, I'm offering my listeners until the end of the year 15% off with coupon code UFOPOD at checkout. So that's UFOPOD. I put it in all caps, but I don't know if that really matters. But anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Take care.
All right, we're back.
All right, now let's discuss what some of the skeptics are saying. Tom Wheezy.
Sorry, I was passed out.
I have included all the links to the debunk websites that I research, so if listeners really want to go into the subject matter, they're welcome to. Because I ain't doing it. Well, I do a little bit, but... yeah. Again, much as last week, a lot of the speculation is based on the video alone. Not last week, but the gimbal video is what I meant when I wrote this. It's based on the video alone and none of the eyewitness accounts. One thing that is unfortunate is that we don't seem to have a testimonial of the pilot who took the actual Tic Tac video, as I mentioned already.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if they just saw it at a distance, just caught on their radar, and they were able to get a lock on it, or if they got close to it, or what happened, you know?
Is this one of those, this is the instance where the person is, it's a career killer, right? Is that the?
No, that was, I think, I can't remember, but I think she said, I think that was David Fravor's wingman. That was part of the same incident, you know?
Okay.
Keeping an eye on him. But this was like, they came back and, you know, everyone on the ship already knew about what happened. And then the next flight group going out was like, I'm going to get this thing on tape.
I gotcha.
But we don't know what happened with that pilot. We just seen the video of it. So the main point of contention seems to be, and then again, that one guy Day, or I think it was Day,
said, the psychic.
Yeah. He said that, you know, there's a lot more to that video than what we've been shown. So the main point of contention seems to be that the video doesn't show any of the strange tumbling motions that Fravor describes, but just as an object moving straight, much as you would expect an object to. So, yeah, it doesn't show it tumbling, but it just shows an object moving straight. The main theory seems to be that the object could be some kind of balloon or drone or missile released by a sub. Another point of contention is that it seems like the object shoots off the side of the screen in the video right when the camera is changing its zoom range. Although Fravor contends in the Joe Rogan interview that for the camera to lose a lock on an object like that, the object had to be moving pretty fast. With the available data, you are unable to calculate the speed because the targeting computer is unable to calculate the distance to the object in the video. I didn't verify that, but I think that's what they were saying when they were analyzing it.
Okay.
Well, now I'm showing my lack of awareness here, but I think usually the targeting computer is going to be able to pinpoint the distance to the target, you know.
I think I've seen that in some of the other videos.
Okay. hopefully I'm not speculating too much, but I believe so. But anyway, I think there was some kind of jamming going on with the, I'm getting all these interviews mixed up and stuff. I don't know if this is something I read or something that Fravor said or something, but, yeah, I think there was some, like a little bit of jamming going on with that. So they couldn't get the distance. The debunkers also attribute a lot of the testimony to pilot error or overconfidence in their observations, in Fravor's observations. To me, this seems like a lot of speculation on the part of the debunkers, and while Fravor does seem confident, he has a lot of time in the air, and he has had other observers to back him up, or he had other observers.
So these debunkers that you're referring to, are any of them pilots that we know of?
I don't believe so, no.
No?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, that would be an interesting thing, to have a pilot who disagrees with Fravor,
right?
Come on and say, well, you know, this looks to me more like X, Y, or Z.
Right.
That would, you know, I would attach a lot more credence to that. A pilot of equal rank or someone who's had as much flying time than just a nameless debunker.
I would love to see that too. But I'm sure these guys have played a lot of flight simulators though, so.
Fair enough. But it better be Microsoft Flight Simulator. Right.
Or X-Wing Fighter, maybe. But
even better. What about Star Fox, though?
I'm sure.
If they can do barrel rolls, I'm okay with it.
But I think it's the same guy that was getting that was weighing in on the gimbal one. What's his name? Mick Wood or something like that. I could be wrong. Is that like a Sex Pistol or something?
Mick Fleetwood.
I don't remember his name.
Mick Jones.
Yeah, there's a couple of these websites, and these, like I said, I mean they're very confident. They also seem a little overconfident to me for. But they're really logical and they do really good research and stuff. But they seem so quick to, I don't know, it's debunkers, you know? Can't live without them.
Well, here's the thing, man. Like, it's healthy to be skeptical about stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to just blindly go along with anything that anyone says.
Right. But sometimes they seem so eager to just latch onto any potential excuse. It's like the swamp gas thing, you know? Like, oh, that's probably what they saw then, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's a likely explanation for it, or you know, or there was a meteor shower that night, so that was definitely a meteor.
It's obviously the planet Saturn or Venus,
right? Man, I gotta say, I was in Houston the other weekend, and there was just a big round object in the sky.
You saw a UFO and you didn't even tell me about it?
Well, it wasn't moving or anything, and I asked someone I was with, and they said it might be Mars, but I've never seen it that big. But I was in Houston, so I don't know what.
Everything's bigger in Texas, man.
I know. That's what I was like, okay. But, I mean, it could have been a balloon or something like that. Who knows? Or, like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not in Houston that often. But it was blowing my mind, man. It was really near the moon, too. Like, but it was gigantic.
Do you know what date it was?
Hmm.
Was it a Friday or a Saturday? We could triangulate the date. Okay.
But
any of you astronomers out there in the Houston area, please let us know.
Yeah. I would love to know what that was, actually. Because I have heard like people mistaking planets for it or something. But
yeah,
I mean, you know, it wasn't moving or anything. It was just sitting there. But yeah, I don't know what it was.
Creepy.
I'm sure it could have been like a weather balloon or something. But I tried to get a picture of it. It was just a blurry photo like everyone makes fun of, you know.
All you Texans out there. Holler at us.
I was intoxicated at a concert at the time.
Oh.
Lots of cervezas. But yeah, it was kind of interesting. It was right next to the stage too, so a lot of people must have seen it, you know. But,
what was the concert you were at?
Krongbeen.
And that's K-H. Oh, come on, man. You got to spell Krongbeen now?
I believe it's K-H, Krongbeen. K-H-R-U-A-N-G-B-I-N. Great band. I don't want to sidetrack too much, but check them out. Anyway, they attribute a lot of the testimony to pilot error or overconfidence in the pilot's observations. To me, this seems like a lot of speculation on the part of the debunkers. And while Fravor does seem confident, as I already said, he has a lot of time in the air and he deserves to back him up. Sorry, I already read that part. Yeah, so he had other observers to back him up too. So like all four of these highly trained pilots, I don't know, that's where it comes into like I wish Fravor had written a report too, and then you could bounce the two reports off each other. I'm sure they were talking a lot before the report and kind of getting their stories
together. I don't know, it all depends on how much delegating was done.
Or just the weapons officers. I mean, maybe that whole picture's out there somewhere, but I don't know. And also that, I mean, his wingman was a noob, you know, and he was experienced. So, I mean, obviously she was shaken up by, I don't know. I guess I'm beating a dead horse with this, but come on, Fravor, why didn't you write a report?
I know.
But,
well, I guess he's reporting on it now.
He's a pilot. He's not a desk jockey. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, his testimonial.
That would have been cool if he was like, if he had like a little pocket recorder thing.
Right, right.
Like in Home Alone 2.
Or if we had, well, that's what they say disappeared, was like all the pilot chatter and stuff. I mean, they probably have records of those, you know. Mm. So, again, I feel like the debunkers take a lot of the pilot's report out of context in order to reinforce their point, and it seems like they have a lot of cognitive bias in their analysis. The debunkers seem very willing to disregard highly trained pilots' accounts in order to reinforce their viewpoints, the debunkers' viewpoints, that is. One article mentions that the pilot originally thinks the Tic Tac object could be some kind of missile in the report, but that was basically just a first impression that the pilot seems to dismiss immediately after observing further behaviors. And that was in that section that you read actually last week, where, you know, what she really says though is like, yeah, initially is like it was moving, it was fast like a missile or something, and I thought it could be a missile, and I was worried.
Well, that's your natural reaction, is to try and identify something. We're pattern seeking creatures, and if you see something, you're going to immediately try and identify whatever it is with the closest experience you have.
And what in the air is shaped like that and moves super fast? But she didn't see any exhaust, or I mean, she gives a lot more detail saying that it's like, yeah, definitely not a missile, you know.
No,
I suppose it could be some kind of balloon or drone with a missile attached that launches suddenly while midair, but I would assume that military personnel, and especially pilots, would be able to recognize this. Another theory to explain why the balloon appeared to shoot off is that it simply popped.
It could be a missile with a balloon attached.
Yeah, that's a good point that I had not considered. Or a bird fart.
Yeah. We're going back to that, folks. Or it could be a bullet bill from Super Mario Brothers.
Swamp gas.
Mm-hmm.
As they describe in the History Channel show, there are some current technologies that match some of the capabilities displayed in these incidents, but nothing that could do all of these things concurrently as described. Concurrently. Altogether, this is some crazy technology, but there's certain things that can do one of these things or whatever. Now, I found an interesting article that I'll put in the show notes about an experimental flying saucer prototype that was built by some Romanian engineers that is really interesting. And if some Romanian engineers could have made something like this, I would have to imagine that the U.S. military would be quite far ahead of them.
Well, if they have weapons-grade Romanium, of course, they're like way ahead of us, man.
Also included in the linked article, it's part of the article, is a video footage of the U.S. military attempting to create a working flying saucer back in like the 50s or 60s, and it's pretty interesting. Let's take a break right now. I'll show you the video, and we can kind of talk about it a little bit.
Sounds good. And we're back.
So that's quite a story, huh?
Yeah.
I just showed you. So I showed him that article. I highly suggest, if you're interested in this stuff, click it on the link. So it looks like, yeah, they have a little prototype of a little flying saucer that, the creators claim if they make a bigger one, I mean, I don't think it had actual rockets on it. But
jet
it,
propulsion. Or jet, yeah. No, it did not.
It was kind of like a little drone, basically.
Right. It's a prototype, I think. It's a working prototype without the jet.
Right,
fuel and everything. I don't think.
But they say with the jets, then they could channel it through these little ports, and then use it to turn on a dime, basically.
Yeah, and I can't stress enough, guys. Check out the video; it's really neat.
It's cool, and especially imagine seeing that, like in 2004, something like that. Even that one, we'd be like, "Oh, this is a
pre-drone era."
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little flying saucer. It's cool, but I mean, now it just looks like a fancy drone, really. It looks like that. I mean, I got one of those little, I don't know if you've seen them on Facebook or anything. That's where I saw it, but like a little $20 drone with sensors on it. So it just like kind of avoids hitting something and it just kind of flies itself around. It's pretty amazing for $20.
Grant just showed it to me today and I was just agog <It's pretty> staring cool. at it.
Yeah. If you have a cat, I would highly recommend getting one.
Yeah. But, or if you have a 30-something-year-old adult male in your house.
Yeah. Too. If you've got a Grant at home, then I would get him one. He'll love it. Yeah. So anyway, so that video is pretty crazy. Like, I mean, you suggest, anyway, it seems like you liked it too.
I did.
And then there was like something about the project from like 1956, I think is when they started it. And, yeah, that's crazy, man. That's a long time ago, you know? And
yeah. The video is, it's called the Avro Car, AVROCAR.
Well, it actually started with like a jet propelled one that was apparently went out of control when they built the prototype and blew up a lot. So they canceled that, went a little smaller scale, made the little Avro car, and they have footage of him driving around in it. And, Tom was kind of chuckling at it.
I mean, it does more like cackling.
It looks straight out of Star Wars. It kind of looks like what Luke Skywalker's going around on Tatooine, but it's real, yeah. Which is cool. And it's 20 years before Star Wars and it was real, you know? So that's, I mean, it's cool. It looks like something out of a movie at least, but, it's pretty primitive, honestly. And, it's kind of like a little car mixed with a helicopter.
It looks like a Frisbee.
You know?
It looks like a particularly rounded Frisbee.
It's like a really primitive. I mean, it looks like similar to Luke Skywalker's little car, yeah. But, yeah, it's something to see though, man. And then, so that's 56. So what? It's 60 years ago. So what do they have now if they kept working on it? They said they stopped it because it was hard to fly. And once it went
above 10,000 feet.
10,000 is pretty high. But yeah, then it became super dangerous to fly. So they just stuck with helicopters. Right. He was saying that it was meant to replace like helicopters or jeeps, you know, so you could use it. But it shows him going like off road over a little ditch and it's working pretty well, you know. I mean, I think you might be kind of vulnerable to the enemy if you're going around in those things, but.
It looks like a pretty big clunky target. But
yeah.
Anyway, point being, it is really amazing technology for 1960.
Right.
When
it's
the
really.
The video was shot, I think. And
it just shows that people were working on flying saucers for a long time. So it even says it in the article, like if these engineers come up with this and if these claims are true, because, yeah, like they only had the little propeller, so it was basically just an advanced drone. But if they could fit rockets onto it and make a full-size one that could travel at those speeds, I mean, what could that thing do? You know, there wouldn't be any people in it, and it's really aerodynamic. So if they can make that, then where is the U.S. military at in their projects, you know?
Right. So, yeah, check out the Avro car video and the Romanian
Adifo, I think it was called, something like that.
Yeah.
But they're both in the same article, and I'll label it and stuff.
Grant will link it up.
Look for the Romanians, and they'll show you the way.
Weapons-grade Romanium.
So another piece of technology that's worth mentioning in regarding this is the X-43, which is capable of Mach 9.6 or about 6,800 miles per hour.
Or about 9.6 times the speed of light. Is it?
I don't know.
Is it?
Should we look that up?
No, not times the speed of light, times the speed of sound. Sorry.
Speed of sound, yeah, not speed of light. But yeah, however, this is just a very fast version of a conventional aircraft, you know, nothing that could do what is purported to be observed in the last few episodes. Although if you hooked something like that up to the Adifo, a full-size Adifo, who knows what's capable of. But yeah, this thing, so it sounds, I mean, that's crazy. It goes fast, but I think it's pretty much just like a jet or like a missile with that you can control, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not capable of hovering or anything like that, and then just taking off at that speed. One last piece of quote unquote evidence that I'd like to share is what I was saying, where I was able to talk to my grandmother about her personal sighting back in the 50s or maybe even 40s.
Rad.
I wish
I hear from Mima.
I wish I had took better notes. Basically, I should have got the year there, but it's back in the day. And so looking at my notes, I realize I forgot to write the year. It's definitely anecdotal evidence and probably easy to dismiss, but I see no reason for her to make any of it up, and she actually seemed kind of embarrassed to talk about it, but also eager to share.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, yeah. So
please.
At the time when it happened, my grandparents were in the middle of a move from one place to another in Los Angeles. It started when my grandpa, who is now deceased, was driving alone back to the old place and saw a white craft hovering over a water tank. So I got the impression it was like over to the right of him, and there was a tank, a water tank, like pretty close to him, and it was just this craft hovering over it. Again, this is from my grandma, what he described to her. He was making a turn, so he glanced to his left so that he could complete the turn, and he wanted to pull over and observe it, but then when he looked back, it had disappeared in the blink of an eye. Nobody else around seemed to have noticed anything. He was excited and went back to tell my grandmother, but she was worried about the move and didn't really give much credence to it. You know, as you would if someone said, well, I just saw this crazy thing. You're like, okay, whatever.
Unlike me, who just flipped out when you said that you saw something in Texas while intoxicated.
Well, yeah, but we're hosting a UFO podcast right now, so.
True that.
But I got to say, yeah, like hearing my grandma just talk about it, it really spooked me, you know, because I have no reason to disbelieve her. And she's not looking for, you know, she's like, oh, I'm finally going to get on the podcast. You know what I mean? Like,
well, hey, man, she's going to get the Are You For Real bump.
And she was really, I mean, she was really excited. But like I said, she was also, you know, then she catch herself talking. She's like, well, you know, I don't want to go on and on about it or whatever. But it's like, yeah. But anyway, so my grandfather was trained as a tail gunner for World War II. The war ended right before he was going to be shipped out to combat. So he was expected to be able to recognize any object in the sky instantaneously and be able to distinguish friend from foe. So this seems like an extraordinary coincidence. But later that day, they were both driving over to the new place together. And I think, you know, he was like, well, you know, she didn't believe him or want to hear. He's like, well, just keep your eye out, you know, because it's crazy. And then so I don't know the area well, like Los Angeles, but she described that they were coming down Santa Monica Boulevard and had just crossed Beverly Glen Boulevard when she saw three craft over against the mountains. She said they dipped down over the hills and then disappeared by shooting away, much like all the other accounts. Pew. Yeah, like they were just kind of creeping over the hills and then whoop. And yeah, she described it just like the fishermen around Guadalupe Island. She described them looking like white Necco wafers, which I find hilarious since they're like old versions of Tic Tacs. You know, that's so funny. But yeah, other like white round objects, you know, everything looks like a candy apparently. But yeah, I think that, I mean, that's cool, you know.
And well, good and plenties, perhaps.
She just said Necco wafers. It was hard for me to interject. There was like a delay, you know, and it's like, so I was basically just listening and trying to record everything. But yeah, that just really struck me, like Necco wave. It's so similar to Tic Tacs, but it's so old timey. And, you know, if you look at something like a Necco wafer, I assume she could see that they were around because they were coming down over the hill, you know. But if you look at it from an angle, it's going to look like a cigar-shaped thing, you know, or I don't know.
I haven't seen Necco wafers from a whole lot of different angles, to be honest.
I just saw them on the picture online when I looked them up. But obviously, depending on the angle, they could describe the same shape. Smooth, white, ovular objects. She said that it sounds crazy, but then you see it and you know it's real. She told me another story, and I had tried to get like a better account of how they like disappeared and how they were moving and stuff, how fast they were going, but it was... You know, I didn't get that good of a description, but she, you know, she definitely said they just shot off like in the blink of an eye, like.
Whoop. Wow.
So then she told me another story. Tom, are you going to be a professional here? Or? We got vibrating something.
Yeah, I thought I heard that wasn't my phone.
Yeah, it wasn't? Oh.
No, we should probably.
No, maybe it was mine, but anyway, I think the aliens are creeping in.
Jeez. Yeah, that was creepy.
But so it seems like an extraordinary... Oh, no. So she told me another story that my grandpa had relayed to her about when he mustered out from the San Diego base at the end of World War II. And this one's crazy, too. I wish I could talk to him about it, you know, but it sounds pretty fantastical. But he and his army buddies were washing and hanging their uniforms outside. You know, they had to hang dry their... closed back then.
Wow.
When suddenly a big cigar-shaped craft just came and hovered silently nearby in the distance. So like, yeah, it sounds extraordinary, but they were like on base basically, and
this was in San Diego.
Yeah, yeah. And So this is all from my grandma, and it was told secondhand to her, you know, but she said they were waving at it and trying to get it to react. And you got to picture these are like some guys that were just about to go to combat or whatever, a bunch of army guys, like young guys, you know, they're probably trying to impress each other and stuff. But
do you know what base this was at in San Diego?
No, I don't. Only what you see here on the paper. Like, yeah, I could get more details, but like I said, she started kind of getting squeamish about it and she would just change the subject and stuff. So, but I could get like a more serious interview if people are interested, you know, I just kind of wanted to include it and it.
Well, that's awesome hearing, how old's your grandma?
Don't put me on the spot here, but, she's 90, actually 95. Yeah.
A nonagenarian. Wow.
She's not an alien. What's a nonagenarian?
It's a 90 something, like an octogenarian. Oh, I should have figured that. Something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. She's an oldie but goodie.
Man, that's really cool to get like,
yeah, yeah.
An account from someone who's been around that long. That's amazing.
And she was like, again, it was just cool because she was like happy to talk about it because she was like, yeah, this is crazy, you know? And she totally believes because like, not because she's crazy, but because she saw it, I guess. Well, maybe she saw it because she's crazy, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you put this next to the pilot testimonials and it's just like, wow, what's going on out there? You know,
in San Diego, especially.
And this, I mean, I guess I never realized how big, I mean, I guess I did, but, you know, growing up in the 80s, it's hard to know, to realize how seriously people took like flying saucers and UFOs back in the day, you know? And it seems like there's a lot of sightings all the time, but I mean, it's easy to write that off just cause like people were dumb back then or something like that, but that's not true. You know, like,
well, when Roswell were
pretty dang smart, I mean,
in 1947, when the Roswell thing happened, it was reported that a flying saucer had crashed and people took it as fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember asking my grandpa about it and he's just like, yeah, he said, just thought.
Now, I don't know if it's cause. Well, we can have an argument about how reliable newspapers are today, but you know, like how my dad said, like, you know, when he was a kid, there was always all these reports of like a flying saucer coming down and beings coming out and just a whole town
really?
Seeing it and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think my grandpa was an enthusiast, especially after this. I don't know if it was before this as well, which would, you know, color his credibility a little bit, but, cause he was in the army and the Air Force. And I mean, that's when these first happened with the Foo Fighters and everything, right? Like talk of the Foo Fighters among pilots and stuff. And
yeah.
Then,
yeah. That was in World War II.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll have to get into it, but yeah, it just seems like, people took it seriously back then. And then now it's being reported by our military professionals and people are taking it less seriously. It seems like, I mean, a lot of people are taking it seriously. I don't know. It's a confounding thing, but then how do you take something seriously that you can't study, you know, and just sounds like.
Well, you can study it to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And study people's accounts of it.
I mean, we can sit here and BS about it, I guess, but yeah, yeah. That's true. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's hard. I mean, you can't catch these things, you know, so. Oh, you seem to disagree.
Yeah. Who's to say we haven't caught him already, Grant?
That's true. Well, I don't know. Then does it? What about Bob Lazar? Maybe he's just telling the truth. You know.
What about Bob?
So like I said, this thing's just hovering there, relatively nearby, like a huge cigar-shaped craft, big Necco wafer, maybe. They were waving at it, trying to get it to react, but then after about 10 or 20 minutes, it just shot off.
Wait, they were waving at it for 10 or 20 minutes?
Yeah, I guess they were just sitting there like, stiff. Like, what do you do? I don't know. I wish they'd had a camera or something, you know. But my grandma said afterwards, the guys just kind of looked at each other and laughed and, you know, asked each other, did that really happen, you know? So anyway, that's kind of hearsay and stuff. But my grandma also has some other stories from one of her pilot friends in L.A., and from locals in the area. She lives in Oregon. She says it's a UFO hotspot. It was actually hard to get her to keep talking about it. She seemed, like I said, she seemed at once like she wanted to share her experience, but she also was a little embarrassed to discuss it, you know. Well, that's how my grandma is anyway. She's like, oh, well, I don't want to just keep going on and boring you, you know. But
glad she shared it, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's really interesting, man. Maybe I'll have to get an interview with her about it one time or something, try and record it or something if people are interested.
I think you should. Even if people aren't interested, I'm interested, so. There you go.
I got to figure out how to record a dang phone call to do that. So
it's called FaceTime.
You can record them?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I can. Yeah, maybe. I can figure something out.
I think you could maybe Skype.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, then I have to get my grandma on Skype on the other end. That might not happen. But, yeah, that's about it. I mean, anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so, man.
I mean, any thought? It kind of leaves you in the same place as the gimbal one. Like, well, that's quite incredible stories. I mean, what are you supposed to do with that information, you know? Again, it comes down to, like the only options I can come up with. Yeah, like you said, an error in the system, and all these people are hallucinating or not right. Misunderstanding what they're seeing. But it seems like you put the two of them together. I mean, that's a pretty tight case, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think in the aggregate, it's there's a lot of good circumstantial evidence for it, and some, you know, the video itself being direct evidence, I suppose. But I mean, I think what I would like to see is an actual pilot refute Fravor's version of it.
I've heard, yeah, I would like to see an analysis of, I mean, they have it on the show, just some like, but it's just some guys in a warehouse watching the video like, yeah, that's crazy, you know? So it's like, yeah, like if the only people, the experts all seem to agree that it's kind of crazy stuff, but then these skeptics are like, oh, it looks like a jet or something, you know? So.
And I just want to know what the skeptics do for a living. I want to know, I mean, if they're actual like radar techs or like camera techs. Or
well, that one guy, Mick West, he was a programmer on Tony Hawk skateboarding.
Okay. Well, that's something.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, to be fair, the physics in Tony Hawk skateboarding are not realistic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that might
I've
be intentional.
I've done a 360 nollie grind into a melon grab, into a dark slide.
You actually played that game then, huh?
A lot.
Okay. I never played that.
All throughout my college years, I played that more than I should have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, I mean, that's about it.
If there's any topics you guys would like for us to cover, please. We want this to be as interactive as possible. We know you guys are out there. Yeah. If you could just... drop us a line. Actually, we have an email address. It's areuforeal podcast, areuforeal podcast @gmail.com. And, you know, if you're listening this far, I'm sure you've heard it before, but it really helps us if you guys write a review. You know, it'll help help us get noticed more, hopefully.
Yeah.
And just any kind of interaction. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. And that would be really, really cool.
And from here on in, we should probably stop asking for that. It's probably annoying, right? Like rate and review us and stuff. But we really do need that. And
I got a couple ideas for some topics coming up. Like there's some good abduction stories. There's this one called the Allagash.
Okay, I heard something about that. Yeah. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
I want to do some, I don't know, I got to find some now. I want to do some light ones so we can get some episodes out. You know, I mean, I want to cover these stories, but these in-depth ones, they take me a long time, you know, and I don't know if the product's worth it, all the work, but.
I think it is.
There's one other thing, if people are still tuned in and haven't turned us off yet. There's this website that I've wanted to share for a while now. I'll put the link on there, but it's a two-parter. The first part, it's from casino.org, so it's about odds of encountering a UFO in the different states, which is kind of interesting. But then on the bottom, it has like a timeline, and you can flip through and see different accounts throughout the years of different UFO experiences. And it's really fascinating. I was just looking at it last night. I was getting excited because...
rad.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's really brief and stuff, but it's interesting, you know. I guess nothing more to say, but I would highly recommend checking it out if you're interested. So that's for our for all you sweet people that stayed with us through this whole journey on this episode. I'm trying to wind it up here in a compelling way, but no, thanks guys. We will talk to you next week, and I love you lots.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.